Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, and we're so glad you're here with us. We hope you found us on our new day at our new time. And I want to make a reminder for everybody. When you call in, the station will call you back and connect you to the show. So when you get a strange call back from a number, pick it up. Don't let it go to voicemail. All right. So I want to introduce Susan Wagner, and she's going to talk a little bit about what's going on with Dr. Pat Allen and the One Institute, our sponsor. Sue?
Okay. Well, as you know, we have a webinar that will be going on tonight at 6:15. It's $10, and you can register at www.wantistore.com. We do offer where the attendees can call in and can write in questions. However, tonight's question and hot seat is full. There is another webinar Thursday, November 17th, that you're more than welcome to sign up to work one-on-one with Dr. Allen, the same as what you would do here on the radio station. She takes 5 minutes each person up to about six people. And if you live in the Southern California area, we have her monthly LA relationship seminar, the first Monday of the month, which will be Monday. The next one is Monday, November 7th from 7 to 9 at the Courtyard Marriott, and the address is 6333 Bristol Parkway. That's in Culver City. It's $10 admission at the door. And in Orange County, we will be having our seminar on Wednesday, November 2nd, the first Wednesday of the month. And that's at the Costa Mesa Community Center, 1845 Park Avenue off of 19th Street in Costa Mesa. That seminar is from 7 to 8:30, and it's a $5 donation. Both of those seminars, we have Dr. Allen. She takes questions and answers from the audience. And we do offer private appointments in the LA office, Orange County, or on the phone. If you want information, you can email me at info@drpatallen.com. That's D-R-P-A-T-A-L-L-E-N, no period after the D, D-R. And if you want, Dr. Allen, we also have some life script classes and some dream classes. The life script class is limited to six people, and the dream class is limited to six people. Dr. Allen will talk about what she goes over in the class. If you want information, all of the dates are available on the wantistore.com. The life script class is $150, and you get Dr. Allen. You work with Dr. Allen with six people from 9 to 4 in the Newport Beach office, and the dream class is one Saturday a month from 9 to 4, six people, and you work with Dr. Allen. And that class, the dream class, is $100 each class. And if you do not live in the area, unfortunately, we cannot offer the life script as a webinar class because of the personal information. What we can offer is that you can have a private life script reading, and at that time you can call the office. The private life script reading takes about an hour, and the fee for a private reading would be $250, the same amount for a private session. I send you a questionnaire, you fill it out, you set up a time with Dr. Allen, and she works with you for 1 hour digging deep into what your script was, and you can rewrite your script to change the way that you're behaving. Dr. Allen, you want to talk about the life script in the dream? You can also do dream class analysis over the phone as well. If you have dreams, write them down and Dr. Allen can help you interpret them.
So for the life script, I'm a transactional analyst, and there are psychoanalysts, they're Freudian. There are analysts, they're Jungian, but I'm a transactional analyst, which means I evaluate the images and the words that you use as to what your life script is. Were you raised to do good to feel good, or feel good to do good? Are you a girl that's daddy wanted a career woman? And are you a boy that your mommy wanted a toy boy. So these are all messages. And I like the book by Claude Steiner called Life Scripts, Scripts People Live. So it's not just my appreciation for what's going on. It's what I've learned in 30-some years. I've been a transactional analyst for 35 years. I've been a therapist for 44 years. So as a cognitive behavioral therapist who specializes in script reading and negotiating instead of intimidating or seducing, I'm inviting you to hire me at either $10, or if you want private attention for an hour, $250.
Oh, for the life script?
Yes.
Oh, no, the life script is $250 for the hour.
$250 for the same as a regular session.
Yeah, the same session. If you go to the
class. And I can do,
it's
if you don't go to the class.
Yeah.
So we have different charges for different amounts. So depending on how much attention you want, I'm more than willing to give it to you.
Great. And Sue, the questionnaire you talk about is actually the pretty in-depth life script questionnaire. Is that correct?
It is, yes.
Okay, awesome.
We've had quite a few people calling for that, and they got a lot of work. They had a lot of positive results out of it. They enjoyed it.
I really appreciate that you can't do that on a webinar because it is a very personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have a webinar tonight. And so what's the deadline for them to sign up for that?
Another 15 minutes, and then I close the doors for it because I have to send out the invitations for them to log in.
Okay, so they've got
But all those people listening, call in now if you want to work with Dr. Allen.
Yes, it's 323-203-0815. So let's start off with a question from one of our Facebook fans, and you have many, Dr. Allen. So the question is this. I have been being pursued by a man who is 10 years my junior. I am 55. He is 45. I feel like I am the leader in this relationship, but I don't know if I'm completely comfortable in that situation. And how can I get in touch with my energy and figure out if this is all just going to go bad?
I want you to know that if this human being, this male, has been raised in other cultures, you can add 10 years to his life. The American culture is one in which, whether we like it or not, women tend to raise boys to feel good rather than do good.
Uh-huh.
And in the same culture, dads tend to try to raise their daughters to do good, to feel good, which is not, it doesn't fit the nature of men and women's bodies. So when I find a man or a woman, whatever their age is, I look at their culture and the family script that they come from,
mm-hmm.
rather than how many times they circled the sun.
Right. I totally understand. Yes, I do. Oh, so, hey, we have a caller, Dr. Allen.
Okay.
All right. Caller, are you there?
Hi, thank you for calling. You've reached Alicia.
They didn't hear the message. When you call in, the radio station will call you back. So answer the call when somebody calls you back.
Exactly. Hi, thank you for calling.
Okay. So, Dr. Allen, you were saying it doesn't matter how many times you...
circled the sun.
Right.
But a 55-year-old woman is at least perimenopausal, which neurologically gives her the physical right to be the leader, but she doesn't have to do it. I teach tools that teach women to act feminine, even, you know, when they're mature.
Perfect. We have a caller. Caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Yes.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. So my question is, I've been duty dating and I've seen one gentleman that I really like. We've had like 8 dates so far.
Good.
And we're moving towards a place of like exploring things sexually. And I've read your book, and I'm a feminine woman, and I want a masculine man. And so I'm, I guess, thinking about the conversation of, you know, when that time comes and I express to him that I would require, like, a committed relationship.
You don't have to say anything until he asks you to be sexual past your comfort level of affection. Has he done that?
Not yet.
Well, throw me a line that you expect him to say, and I'll give you your response back.
Okay. Well, I imagine, because we've just started to explore things physically, like we've only kissed and everything, but we're kind of moving to that place of more intimacy. So I can imagine him saying, like, I'd like to have sex with you.
I appreciate that you want to make love to me. I really don't want to have sex. I want to make love. And for me to make love, I have to have a committed relationship. I don't want to fall in love with someone who wants to have sex with me. That isn't compatible. So wait until you find out if his goal is to make love, which is body, mind, and spirit, longevity, continuity, and exclusivity, or whether he just wants to play and have a hookup with you, which is not good for young women because you bond to men that your bodies like, even if you don't like them. Does that answer your question?
That's understood. I guess my... I'm curious about the idea that he hasn't been in a committed relationship in a long time.
So I've got news for you. What's that got to do with you?
I guess my concern is like, I guess I want to be sure that if he is interested in a, you know, in making love and having that mind, body, spirit.
I've got news for you. The only way he's going to do it is to explore it. And the only way you're going to protect yourself is safe sex, that's STD tests, and a wedding night that you plan ahead. A wedding night is when your bodies marry, even if you don't legally marry. Do you see? A special...
I'm curious what the conversation would look like if you are planning a time to make love.
What you're doing is you're saying... Do I understand that you're willing to be sexually and socially monogamous, no other women, and you don't portray yourself as being single and go back on the websites and pretend you're single? Continuity, even if it's once a month because you live out of town. And longevity is, I'm looking to get married. Is marriage in your future, sir?
Okay.
Those three questions, your guts will tell you if he's telling the truth.
Okay.
Do you trust that?
I do trust that.
Well, then do it. So safe sex, agreed upon, and a well-planned ceremonial wedding, which is a night in a nice hotel or your apartment or wherever, where you both know that you're consummating your agreement for longevity, continuity, and exclusivity.
That makes sense.
Totally. Remember, when you go to a wedding, what is the first, I'm a minister, the first sentence is, we've gathered here to witness the marriage. Now, witnessing is not marrying. It's witnessing what's already probably gone already on. The couple has, in our culture anyway, very, very often consummated the physical part of the relationship and then made it socially available by having a ceremony.
Right.
And some people,
In terms of the trust aspect, like what if...
I don't believe in trust. I believe in trustworthiness. The only way we know... The only way we know we love ourselves or anybody is by the commitments we're willing to make and keep. So if you're fantasizing, trusting somebody before you know him, wrong message. You've got to explore a relationship and make sure that you keep safe boundaries and not do impulsive things. So you can't trust somebody when you meet them. You don't know them.
Right.
So set up boundaries.
I'm curious if this would be considered a red flag. There's been a couple times where he has said to me, he's been asking me out after the different dates and everything, asking me, planning another date, but he would say like, okay, I'll let you know tomorrow if you know, it's a confirmed plan. But then
why should he be duty dating and you're duty dating? You're duty dating. You haven't made the commitment.
Right.
After he says, yes, I will date only you. I will not tell anyone I'm available. I will see you regularly once a week, once a month, once a year, whatever your agreement is. I'll talk to you twice a week. And I am aiming towards marriage someday.
Exploring the compatibility, like if he says, oh, I'll get back to you on Monday, but doesn't follow through with that.
No, that's a broken. Wait a minute. That's a red flag for a broken agreement.
Right.
But is that broken agreement big enough to give up on any more getting to know you? I generally say, don't make anything a deal breaker unless it's immoral, unethical, or illegal. A lack of etiquette, awkwardness, irritation is not necessarily immoral, unethical, or illegal, because perfect, no one is.
Right.
So
thank you.
So what have you found? What have you learned here?
I've learned that I don't have to say anything until he asks to be, if he asks for sex, and then we can have the discussion.
No, if he asks to make love.
Right.
Having sex is rolling off the couch onto the floor.
Right.
Making love is a planned event.
Right. So we can have that discussion about what I would require to make love, and if he's able, I guess if he has that same desire, and if he would be able to make that commitment.
You would take a risk on him.
Correct.
Okay?
Yes.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. So this is really interesting. We have a question here, and it has to do with trust and trustworthiness. Very interesting. Been married 7 years to who I thought was somebody who merited my trust or a trustworthy person. And
yes.
I find in the last 3 or 4 months myself questioning my ability to buy into him still being a trustworthy person. In my
that
gut.
He must have broken agreements with you, whoever you are.
Right. She says it's a 7-year relationship, and do you believe in the 7-year itch?
The 7-year itch, I once was told, was 2-3.5 years of Saturn. that we go into crisis astrologically.
Oh, okay. So
almost anybody with decent sex can get 3 years out of a relationship.
Right.
Infatuation, enjoy, boring.
Right.
So that's once what I heard, and I like that idea. So we all, look, we all like and dislike each other periodically. Sometimes for good reasons, sometimes for not good reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're really smart, we do everything we can to save the relationship, because everybody out here has got a screw loose.
Oh, yeah. I think everybody has an element of damage.
That's right. And so what I like to do is help people negotiate, not intimidate, and not seduce each other into believing that you know somebody in the first week or two. In the first 3 months in a relationship, you're getting to know somebody who's acting as if they're perfect. The second 3 months are imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
Their real self is blowing out through the relationship.
We have a caller.
All right.
Are you there, caller?
Oh, yes. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, wow. So my question is, I'm in a relationship and we are getting married. We have a date set and a venue and everything. He earns a significant larger amount of money than I do. We've combined our money, and he's very generous. But I know that he's a little loose with his spending. And I'm having a hard time not trying to control him.
Then you haven't negotiated the deal. If you're putting your money together, there has to be an agreement as to, does he make more money than you do?
Yes, a lot more.
All right. Then it would be either you would put in dollar for dollar and live at your level, or you would put in percentage, like 65% of his income and 65% of your income, which would allow you to have your own personal money, and he would get to keep his personal money. Do you see? So that you have to have some kind of formula so that you know what's I money, that's yours, we money, and then, of course, taxes and savings and buying houses, us money. I, we, and us. So you have not, you put your money together, but you don't have a formula for how it works. Now, let me ask you, do you want him to respect you as the money channeler, or do you want him to cherish you? Are you, which do you want?
Cherishing. Now, he's put me in charge of finances in the sense of creating the spreadsheets and making sure the bills get paid, and
you're the comptroller, and that's where you do what I'm saying. Either you put in a percentage, which is the same from each of your incomes, or you put in dollar for dollar. Which do you feel comfortable with?
I don't know. He's a bit old-fashioned. I mean, he just basically said, my money's your money, you know, here, you know,
darling,
everything's ours, and that's kind of just the way he is.
Wait, that's a wonderful idea, except you're already worried about him spending our money, which includes your money, in a way without your input. Why not decide how much you're going to put in the kitty? And what's in the kitty pays for the bills. And that's in your hands. He said, I want you to pay the bills.
Right. I guess just because he makes so much more money than I do that, I mean, I don't really know if I want to be. I don't want, you know, me having money on my own would be, he'd have so much more on his own.
Wait a minute, my love. Then you want him to give you half of the money that he makes without you contributing, right?
I just want us to have a shared income and to be smart and responsible. And
well, then listen to what I'm saying so I know when I go to sleep tonight, I told you the truth.
Okay.
You don't want to put dollar for dollar because you don't make that much, and therefore you'd have to live at much lower level. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. Yes, that's
all
what
right.
You're hearing from me.
But you also don't want to have a percentage because you need, how much money do you need for pocket money? $50 a week, $100 a week for your hair, for your clothes?
I would say like $150
for hair, clothes. All right.
Yeah.
So you would then need, what is it, $150, that's $600?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Your percentage of $600 is how much of a percentage of your income?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
How much do you make?
Oh, shoot. I bring home $4,000 a month.
A month. All right. Mm-hmm. So $600 of your money goes into the kitty.
Okay.
Well, the same percentage of his money goes into the kitty.
Okay.
So if you're 600, what's the percentage of 600 of 4,000? Tell me. Do you have a computer?
I do.
Do you have a calculator? What is $600 of 4,000? How much percentage?
Oh, I don't have one in front of me right now. But I get what you're saying.
And let me say this to you. He gets to keep his private money, but I'll wager he'll pay it to buy a house or decorate a house or go on a trip. But you have no business running it.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm asking you to do?
Yes.
I want you to honor him. He earned that money. He has a right to own it. But if you respect him for what he's doing, remember, he's going to be putting in a lot more money than you are just on a percentage basis.
Okay.
And so there should be an I credit card and a we credit card. Do you see what I'm saying?
Okay. Yes.
And you use the one for your bills, and he uses his money for his bills, and then you use the joint kitty or account or bank, you know, credit, whatever you have, to pay the bills. But why should you have the right to control his hard-earned money that you weren't even part of?
I don't know, because it feels like we're such a unit now, and we talk about shared goals that we want.
No, dear, so, you're not a unit right now. You want to be the boss of you and him.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
I'm afraid.
That doesn't change when we get married, right? I mean, when you say nothing, does this anything
What we're
change?
Doing here is premarital counseling with you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I'm flagging you to either do dollar for dollar or percentage.
Okay.
Which one do you want to do?
Percent.
Then figure out what his percentage is from his income based on the percentage that you took out of your income.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, I can do that. Okay.
Good. Give it a go.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You, caller.
Hey, Kelly, right, I sent you an email that seemed like a good question. Did you get it?
I have it right here. Are you ready?
Yeah, I thought it was a good
Here's
question.
Here's what's going on. It says, hey, Dr. Allen, I have something that's bothering me and wondered if I could ask my husband about it, if I made an appointment with him. But I'm not sure how to word it, so can I say this? Here's the situation. My girls' cars have leaked oil in the past because they drove really old cars as teenagers. My husband made such a big deal about their cars dripping oil and asked if they could park out in the street because they dropped oil. He actually came and glued about the oil on his driveway and even had my youngest tutor also park her car in the street in front of the house when she came to tutor because her car leaked oil too. Now, it was hard to tell my kids to park in the street, but also hard to tell the tutor this also. Now, my husband's son's car is leaking oil, and my husband doesn't have the balls to tell him that he should park in the street. Actually, I don't think he will or has told him. This pisses me off, and I want to make an appointment with him to ask why this is any different when it comes to his son. What are your thoughts, Dr. Allen?
My thoughts on that are, is he 51% valuable to you? Because I don't think you have to call the police, a doctor, and a lawyer. I think you need to take a part interest in a drip pan for each one of the cars so they can live in the garage.
Oh, well, that's an interesting and practical way of solving that issue, isn't it?
That's what I do.
So,
see, now remember, first of all, he has to be valuable enough to keep it simple. What I'm hearing is she wants him to raise his son the way he's raising her kids, and she doesn't like it because her kids are being raised to do good, and his son is being raised to feel good.
Right.
Got it? Well, I've got news for you. That's his son. The damage of raising a son to feel good is so great that finding a simple solution like drip pans. I know there are drip pans.
Oh, yeah, there definitely are.
Okay. I would say if he generally is 51% valuable, I would suggest that you let him raise his son to be a puss and you honor him and respect him for requiring you and your daughters to respect him by doing simple tasks like drip pans under the cars.
That makes perfect sense to me.
Okay.
Okay. So we've got some static on the line. So everybody check your mics for me.
Oh,
and
Pat was just moving her headphone around.
Okay. Okay, great. So, and I have a question regarding our last caller. My parents, and the reason I asked this is because I always was amazed at how my parents worked the money situation. When my parents got married, they were both dirt poor. So when they became moneyed, my father, of course, rose up basically from nothing and started a business and eventually sold it for $15 million. My mother was always the homemaker. But my father, and this is interesting because he was born in the 40s and in the Midwest, my father always considered what my mother did at home as a homemaker and mother to be as valuable as what he did out in the world, in the making money part of it.
So he paid her money.
He did.
What's wrong with that?
No, it was perfect. But I was just so curious because everything they made, he considered her his partner, his helpmate, his equal. So whatever.
I don't hear that. I hear that he gave her money from his money in order to pay her to do her housekeeping. I didn't hear anything about she got to say where the money went and what it did.
Oh, she did. Yes, most definitely. Whenever they decide to purchase a house, they did it with, like, you know, excellent communication.
I know that, but she had no money to put in. He paid her to be a homemaker.
Yes, that was her position.
They were verbal partners.
Right.
But he earned the money, and he loved her enough to ask for her input in his choices. She was his co-pilot.
She was
his executive secretary. That's a lot different than the lady that called with the $4,000.
No,
and
yes,
the guy
definitely
has a whole bunch.
I was just totally listening to what you said, and it was so interesting because my parents did it, you know, the way I was explaining, and so interesting and diverse that she had that situation going on, even though she was explaining like he was more old-fashioned and just wanted them to share everything.
He didn't want them to share everything. He was out in the world while she was at home.
Right, but our caller was saying that her betrothed was wanting them to share everything equally.
Well, then she would go to work and make as much money as he made, right?
Yes, definitely.
I call that a convenient relationship. I have no problem with that.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting.
Then there's a codependent relation. That's where one person doesn't work either in the house or out of the house, and the other person pays for everything.
Right.
Then there's the covenant, which is what this one was. One person is designated a breadwinner, and the other person is a homemaker, but the homemaker gets a paycheck for being a homemaker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Therefore, she can buy a house if she saves her money up.
Right. Interesting. Very interesting.
She is not part of the household expenses.
Interesting. I like that. It's very interesting. I
you
love
remember
that.
What I asked the lady? I said, how much does it take you for pocket money? And she said, $150 a week. So I said, okay, so you want $600 out of your paycheck straight out.
Right.
Not to be spent on anything for the house, nothing. And then figure out what that percentage would look like in his income.
Right. Very interesting, Dr. Allen. Really enlightening. Totally eye-opening. So on our last question, can the woman with the car situation make an appointment to discuss with him, or does she just go out and buy those oil catch pans?
She buys the oil catch oil pans. She just buys them. And you know what she's demonstrating to her daughters?
What's that?
He's 51% valuable, you respect him. And you mind your own business about how he takes care of his mother, his sister, his son. That's none of your business.
Very, very interesting. So we have another question.
In my book, Staying Married and Loving It, it has a whole section, a chapter, about mixing families.
Yes, blending the blended family, which is a huge thing.
But the blended family is where they both agree their best.
Has been forwarded to an automated voice.
I think our station was trying to get a caller on for us, and they didn't answer because they didn't listen to what Sue and I said earlier, which was the station.
I have somebody that's emailing me that's saying she's not getting through, and I'm emailing her. The station may see your number and not there. There she is.
Oh, yeah. Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you? Hi, Dr. Allen. I have a quick question.
What's your, I don't care if it's quick or slow. Is it a question?
Okay. Yes, it's a question.
What
so
is it?
A man seeing me right now. And
ooh, that's good. I like that. I like that. You're the egg. He's the sperm.
Of course. I read your books. I love your ways. So yes, he's seeing me, and this was a second time around. I kind of wasn't interested and I let him know, and then he kind of came back, and now I actually really like him. And I'm enjoying him pursuing me.
Good.
My question is, he asked me to go out this weekend, but he didn't ask for what day yet. I actually have a dance social this Saturday. And I was wondering, is it too soon, like if he suggests Saturday, to invite him along? Because my friends will be there and things like that.
What is the status of your relationship? Are you dating? Are you... are you in a committed relationship? What's the status of your relationship?
Okay, we are dating. We are not. We've only had 2 dates, but I dated him previously, and he kind of asked me if he could take me out again, and I said, so now I'm enjoying it.
So, do you want to start acting as if you have a relationship?
I don't mind, but I want him to stop dating.
Has he asked you to leave? To leave dating? Other people?
We've only just started redating. So no. It's not It's just that if he's asked me to go out this weekend, but he hasn't asked which day, when, if he does ask for Saturday, I would be
you
happy
have
to
plans.
Say, oh,
wait a minute. What you say to him is, oh, shoot, I've made plans to do this. What is it you're doing?
I'm going to a dance social. I take dance lessons, and we're having a Halloween social this Saturday.
We're having a Halloween social at my church, my school. What is it?
It's for my dance studio.
Okay. Do you want to say to him, do you want to go with me?
Yeah, I would, but I was wondering if that's too premature because I'm okay.
No, premature is I want you to go with me.
Oh, no, I don't want to say that. No, no.
Then you say, do you want to go with me?
Okay.
And it's okay if you don't because I'm going.
Yeah, that's exactly. I just didn't know if that was rushing it. I don't think it is, but I
honey,
get your take.
You're asking him if he wants to go.
Only if he asks to see me on Saturday, yes. Otherwise,
yes.
I don't want.
Otherwise,
I'm just throwing it out there.
Because you're free. But if he asks for that, you either say, I've made plans, or if it's something you can ask him to, you don't ask him, I want you to go with me, is too possessive.
No. Yeah, I don't
want
to do that.
Do you want to escort me is most credible.
Okay, yeah, and if he says no, that's fine too.
That's fine too.
I just was curious, yeah.
All right.
I just had one other question.
What's that?
Because we are kind of starting a second time, and he's actually been great. He's been great at pursuing. I'm just wondering if there's any ways to kind of just I'm not that great at stroking.
Have you
I'm
ever
good at being
had,
passive.
Have you ever, wait, have you ever had intercourse with him?
No, not even.
Okay,
no.
Well, you
no,
said
no, no, no,
this is our second time, so I thought maybe you had a relationship with him and it was sexual, which would be different. Now that I know you've never had intercourse, which for a young woman and for an older man is marriage.
Yeah, no, we have not even come close to that point. We've
all right.
Just kissed on
so,
the lips. That's it.
So ask your question now that I know the boundaries.
Sure. Just because, you know, I did reject him at one time and he came back and now I realize, wow, I really enjoy him. I don't want to ask for more or change anything. I just want to know, I'm not always the best at kind of like stroking or encouraging. Just to give them confidence, because sometimes when you reject someone and then you kind of take them back, they're a little more standoffish, understandably.
Yes,
are there
right.
ways to do that? I'm just not very experienced with it. I tend to kind of just stay like passive, patient, vulnerable, and let him do more of everything. And I don't want to lead. I just want to know, are there passive ways to just encourage, if that makes sense?
Treat him respectfully. Never ask him what he feels unless he's physically ill. Always ask him what he thinks and what he wants. We just did that. Second
okay.
is whenever you want something, you want to teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question, you must make an appointment first for the subject and the convenience of listening to you. Do you understand that?
Okay.
The
yeah.
third tool is when he irritates you, if you don't have to call the police, a doctor, and a lawyer, you must make him right. Even if he irritates you, you had a right to say that, think that, feel that, do that. You had every right to do that, but I'm uncomfortable with it. Are you interested in knowing the reason? Yeah. I'm uncomfortable because do you want to know what would help me feel better? Yes, I do. I would feel better if you thought of doing it this way instead of that way. What do you think about that? And the fourth tool is, I sense, I think, I believe by your tones of voice, gestures, postures, facial expression, that you might be upset with me. Am I right? Yes. What can I do to help you and I do better? And the fifth tool is timeout. Give him the timeout signal, just like a referee. And then he'll say, what are you doing? I'm signaling you I'm uncomfortable. Are you interested in knowing the reason I am? Yeah, what is it? And you go through that process. What can I do to help us do better? So the truth of the matter is, on this second go-round, give him what every good man wants. Respect, appreciation for who he is and what he's doing.
Okay.
So, Dr. Allen, can you give her sort of like a sentence as an example of a what kind of a stroke she should say to him as a passive patient woman?
What she should say is, you know, I want to tell you something. This is the second time that you have chosen to date me, court me. And I want you to know I so appreciate your coming back and doing that because I didn't notice as much of the goods that you are on the first round, and I appreciate them now.
Oh, that's great. I love that. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Good.
Thanks so much for calling, caller. Okay. So
now I want to put in here that the third 3 months is the negotiable months. That's when you decide, are you both 51% valuable, and do you want to start negotiating time, space, that's living together, money, mine, yours, and ours. We did a bunch of money things here today, and play, non-sexual and sexual. So the third period, which would make it 9 months into a relationship, are the negotiable periods as the third one, perfect, imperfect, negotiable, and the last one is committable. Now, I want everybody who's hearing my voice to raise their right hand. I promise, on my honor, never will I commit to a human being, a finite, fallible human being. Instead, I will commit to the relationship with a finite, fallible human being. I will do my half, and I hope to God they do theirs. And that's called a commitment.
That's awesome. So we have only a short time left, but I do have another question here.
What's that? What's that?
It says, as a 50-year-old woman that knows she
wait
wants...
a minute. 50 or 15?
50. As a 50-year-old woman that knows she wants to be cherished first, I have a burning question. I'm dating men between 46 to 56 years old. We know that these men have a drop in testosterone and as a result like to be respected and cherished as well.
Yes, that's right.
If we both want to be cherished first, then how can anything move forward?
I will tell you simply. First of all, I'll do a commercial on my CD set called The Over 50 Relationship. I think it's on drpatallen.com. Is that correct?
It is. It's a DVD, not
it's a
DVD.
CD.
Yeah, you watch it.
All right.
A DVD player.
Now,
is that on Dr. Pat Allen or is that on the
one iStore? Yeah.
Okay.
iStore. Here's what you do when you're in this category. Whoever starts with a feeling, I would be really happy if we did this. What do they ask their partner? What do you think about it?
Mm-hmm.
And what if I say, and I'm the woman, I think it'd be great if we bought the blah, blah, blah. What would I say to my 50-ish man? How do you feel about it? You both can't be men at the same time, and you both can't be women. I think, I want, I feel, I don't want. That is competitive.
Mm-hmm.
What I want is one person says something sensitive from a feeling point of view and checks the respectable thoughts of the other. The other person, when they say something thoughtful, asks the other person how they feel about it. You don't do woman to woman, man to man. That's for working people and friends only.
Right. So that is really the dance that you talk about, Dr. Allen, the waltz and not the slam dance.
That's right.
So we're out of time. So what do you want to say to us before we say goodbye?
The only way out of a negative feeling is a positive decision. What do I want that I don't have? What do I have that I don't want? Followed by action or inaction as soon as possible.
Awesome. Okay, everyone, remember www.drpatallen.com. Follow us on Facebook. Text us, tweet with us, and give us that one up on Google Plus. You can find more information too about that over 50 set on the Want iStore. So check that out. Goodbye, everyone. We'll hear from you next week.
Bye bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.